SBS हिंदी।
न्यूजीलैंड में पिछले एक महीने के भीतर एक के बाद एक कई इमिग्रेशन स्कैम सामने आए हैं। इन घपलों में बहुत से भारतीय मूल के लोगों का नाम भी उछल रहा है। कहीं पैसे लेकर नौकरी दी जा रही है तो कहीं पैसे लेकर शादी की जा रही है। ज्यादातर बातें ऐसी हैं जो हम आप अपने आसपास लगातार सुनते रहते हैं। ऐसी कहानियां हम लोग अक्सर ऑस्ट्रेलिया और न्यूजीलैंड में देखते हैं, पढ़ते हैं, जानते भी हैं। तो इस बार इन घपलों में खास क्या है, हमने न्यूजीलैंड के संस्थान स्टफ के उन दो पत्रकारों से पूछा जिन्होंने एक के बाद एक 8 ऐसे घपलों का पर्दाफाश किया है। दिलीप फोंसेका और स्टीव किलगैलन मेरे साथ हैं। आप दोनों का स्वागत है। दोनों अंग्रेजी भाषी हैं तो बातचीत अंग्रेजी में हो रही है। सो ग्रेट स्टोरीज, आई हैव बीन रीडिंग दीज स्टोरीज एंड रियली ग्रेट वर्क।
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we've been receiving a lot of good feedback about it. I think people are over here in New Zealand are pretty excited or are rather relieved in some cases that the spotlight is being turned on some of these sort of scams and some of these sort of issues.
Any bad feedback too?
I mean, a little bit online, you know, people within the Indian community saying that, you know, they should be kept in-house and not publicized. But the majority has been people saying it's about time that this was addressed, and we've had lots of tip-offs about other cases going on. We've only been able to investigate probably a handful of the ones we've been given. We haven't had the time, but it's obviously the tip of the iceberg. There's a large amount of it out there.
How did these stories come up?
Well, I guess these kind of stories have always been floating around out there, and we happen to stumble onto, I think, some complaints online, and luckily we were able to persuade some of the people involved to go on the record, which is unusual for a story like this. Most people, as we know, in Indian community or in Asian community, prefer to not be named, to not have their photograph, and to kind of stay away from the media. But in this case, a few of them were willing to be named and to be photographed, and from there it turned out that they had a lot of evidence as well. And so we were able to pursue it from there, and once we published, I think, the first story or the first set of stories, we got a lot more tip-offs after that.
And what is the scam, if you can describe for my listeners, please?
So there's broadly sort of two forms. One is migrants who are desperate for a job, their visas either expiring or is a short-term one, who pay for a job. So we've found cases of people paying up to 35,000 New Zealand dollars for a job. And then that job might be real, or it might not even exist at all. So we've got cases where people have paid for a job that simply doesn't exist. And to satisfy immigration and the tax department, the employer will pay them the salary that they've agreed in the contract, but the migrant will repay that money back under the table and have to take a cash-in-hand job somewhere, a fast food restaurant or a factory or fruit picking, something like that. The second version of the scam is broadly similar, but the job exists, but when they get into the job, they are forced to work much longer hours than they're meant to, or for much rates far below minimum wage. So we've heard of people working 60 to 80 hours a week when they're contracted for 32. Most of the scams is one or other of those models, or a combination of the both.
We keep hearing these things. These are open secret kind of things for us here in Australia and New Zealand, and people know that these things happen. So what was the most shocking thing for you guys?
For me, I guess it was how common it was, how often it's happening, and how easy it is to do and get away with it. We've found so many cases. And, you know, we don't have the investigatory powers of the police or the immigration department, but we've been able to find these cases and stack them up so that our lawyer is happy for us to publish them. So we've effectively proven that it's happening, and yet the immigration department is not doing the same thing. I struggle to see why they haven't already caught these people and prosecuted them or deported them when we've managed to find them and we've only been working at it for a couple of months. So my real shock is that this just goes unpunished all the time.
And I think the other thing from my perspective is that whenever I've heard these sort of things mentioned in the past. It's been mentioned in a way that both sides are sort of seen as equal. So, say, the business owner, they want someone to work for their business, and the worker, you know, wants residency and wants to work. But what was slightly surprising about this situation and many of the other scams we've looked at in this series is that you really come to understand that from the perspective of many of those who have handed over the money and or are working, a lot of them are working in near slave conditions. It's almost like some modern form of slavery. They can't get out. They can't leave their employer. If they enter into it with one idea of what it's going to be like, and then they're just too far into the situation to be able to back out. They are heavily in debt in, you know, the way the old, you know, ancient medieval feudal system or something like that, where they're indentured to some kind of business owner or to some banks back home in India in this case, and they have to earn the money back somehow, and there's no real way out of them. So in a lot of situations, once they've handed over the money, they've sort of handed over their lives to these people in a way that perhaps I think I didn't really appreciate before we did the series.
So has there been any tangible impact already?
Well, we'll be covering some of it in a later series, but we hear that there have been some movement in some of these cases, and the authorities looking into many of these cases. Definitely, for example, one of the institutions in that we've been looking at where immigration fraud was committed, that one has shut down now, and for not necessarily for immigration reasons, but certainly the stories and things seem to have shone a bit of a spotlight onto some of the other things that were going on there, and so we'll be kind of going into that a little bit later in another set of stories that we're continuing with to wrap this up.
Well, great work, guys, and it's really nice talking to you, and thank you so much for sparing time.
Our pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dilipa. Thanks, Steve.
No worries. Thank you.
आपके विचार हमें बताएं। SBS हिंदी को फेसबुक पर लाइक करें और @SBS हिंदी को ट्विटर पर फॉलो करें।